Good evening, everyone. It is so good to see you, and what a wonderful crowd for the first night of the conference, and I trust that it'll grow night by night. Now, I don't know what brings you here. Primarily, we think in our heart was beginning a missions conference, and so we're here for the missions emphases. But in truth, there's some here because it's Wednesday night, and you're just here on Wednesday night, have no plans on being here Thursday, Friday. In truth, tonight is the beginning of what the greatest is yet to be. And you need to design with purpose in your heart that you're going to be here every night, your heart open, receptive to what God has to say through His men and His families. There's no greater opportunity to find God's place in your life as a Christian than in the middle of a missions conference. And we're looking forward to this time. Thank God for it. Take your Bible with me, if you would, please. Turn to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 3. And we're going to kind of spot read and look through this thing because our time is limited, and I respect it and I understand it and appreciate it. One thing that I have picked up, and I have firmly believed this for years and years, and that is there's a great deal of difference between a mission-minded church and a Christian or a mission-hearted church. And I understand things have got to begin with the mind. The mind develops what I think, how I think, what I'm going to do with what I think. But until it's transferred into a heart action, probably it's just going to stay in the mind and never be developed into anything in reality. And I'm glad to know that this is a mission-hearted congregation. I thought about being here since your pastor called me a good time back and asked me to be part of this conference. And of course, it's so much more meaningful to me to have Jesse and Hannah and baby Lila here. And to my surprise, while I'm eating supper, they tell me of the addition. I never knew anything about it until this evening. And of course, that's exciting to all of us. Now I've got to figure out how to keep my mouth shut and not tell any of the rest of my family. My wife doesn't know about it, and I'm just going to have to be overly excited when she finally finds out. But we're all excited. We just love our family and love our kids. But this is special to me, and thank you, preacher, for it. But I've thought of this. What can I say that's new, that's fresh, that you have not heard? Probably nothing. I mean, a church that has been raised on a mission message with a mission truth and emphases throughout its history. What is new? What can be said that has totally been void to your hearing? Probably not one thing. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to allow yourself to hear an old truth through fresh hearing. That somehow God can use that old message, freshen it to your heart, and illuminate it to you in such a way that it's the first time you've ever heard it. And it'll be emphasized that you will do something with your love for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Great Commission is still there. It's still in the Bible. It's still in effect. It is still a command. It is still commissioned to the local New Testament church. And it's going to be done. It's going to be done through the local New Testament church into the corridors of the world. And the need is greater today than it was at last year's conference. And as the Lord would tell you is coming, it's going to increasingly get more needy as the days go by. I'm not going to try to give you all kinds of statistics. A lot of them I'm not sure of. Most of them I've forgotten. But I do know this, that there's no time greater for man and woman to hear the call of God to go over there with the gospel that a lost and dying people may hear the hope that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. So in truth, our nights together with hearing the missionaries, hopefully hearing the messages, that God would tap hearts to say, here am I, send me. Allow me to be part of what God is doing, and may I be found faithful in it until Jesus comes again. And the most single important hindrance to missions is the lack of a local New Testament church's involvement in it. And that can only be said because of the lack of the emphases that pastors are making in New Testament churches for their people to be involved in God's work. I've traveled a great deal these last 5 years. I've been a lot of places, I've seen a lot of things, I've been a lot of churches, and I've seen a lot of activity. But one thing I have really seen, sadly, so much of is so much pastoral leadership has become inward instead of seeing things from God's perspective. We become the priority instead of a lost and dying world that needs the gospel. God help us with our view, with our vision. I was thinking of this and based out of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Need not go there, but I wrote this down for me. And I must change the content of my heart before I change my thinking and doing and living. The content of my heart is the motivator. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I want us to really concentrate on the truth of the Word of God, what it is saying to us, and get this out of our mind and out of our notion that God has talked to someone else but not me. If you're here and you have one eye and half sense, I want you to know I'm talking to you. God's Word is talking to you. His truth is speaking to you. Don't try to pass it to people around you. Accept it and say, now, God, as I've gotten this truth, what is it do you want me to do with it? And may I be truthful and open and honest with you. Now, as we look at this text and kind of develop it as quickly as we possibly can, we know, obviously, as we would open up the reading of it, that Ezekiel is being addressed by God himself. And he's being addressed by God to his activity in the work of God, his part in it. And there's two things that come home as we read verses 14 through 21. We're going to make reference to it. But there's two things that we really need to take to our own heart, and that is our responsibility in God's soul-winning plan and ultimately our accountability to God for the part we play in it through obedience. There's a need today that is sadly missed. We become philosophers, we become psychologists, we become counselors, as it were, from the pulpit, and I'm not really condemning that necessarily, but we are lacking in letting people know that one of these days we are going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account to God. We're not going to pass the buck. We're not going to give excuses. But as God's Word, God's truth is placed upon our hearts as a burden. And what we do with that, we stand accountable to God for that. And we need to exercise our minds tonight and ask God's sweet Spirit to help us to comprehend it and then act upon it in this missions conference to do our part to help a lost and dying world to get the gospel, that it may change the destiny of not only a person, but very likely a body of people. And it begins with one. So we find that God is dealing with Ezekiel, starting in verse 14, "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." I'm thankful when I don't want to, God doesn't give up. I'm thankful for that. God is a great tormentor, and I say that with respect to Him. And you can run, but you can't hide. Somewhere, God's going to allow you to hit a wall, And you're going to have to stop and listen to what he's trying to get you to understand. Then it says, then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now, I don't want to make this too twisted, if twisted at all, but I do want you to understand that we have a responsibility. God has made us to fulfill our purpose in this world. God did not birth us simply to be born, to pass a given number of days, and then to lay ourselves down on a deathbed somewhere and cross arms and just simply say, well, I lived a life. No, we are birthed for a purpose, and the ultimate end of that purpose, that our lives would be lived to the purpose and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not be called to ministry as such. It may not be called to pastoring. It may not be called to missions. But it is called to service in some capacity. And so he goes on and he says, go on out. In verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And he states that twice. Now, what I want us to do is, with the help of God, I want to make a spiritual parallel and a possibility, an accountability of responsibility to us tonight in this beginning of our conference. I want to give you about 5 or 6 things that we need to take in mind and make personal application to. Whether it's you're a child or a teenager or whether you're an older person, listen, as long as there's breath in you, there's accountability called upon you. And we need to know that. And let's look at it, if you very quickly we can, and we've just read this briefly, but let me give you about 6 things. Some of it will develop barely, others of it we may just go through. But let's make it personal. Now, we're in a room with a good bunch of people in it, and we're listening collectively, and as a result of that, it's easy for us to hide behind the person that's in front of us and say, he's not talking to me. Well, that's not true. I want you to know that I'm talking to you. And if it's something like me and you just sitting together at a table somewhere and no one else is around and I've captivated the conversation, you're just sitting there taking it. Because I want to tell you some of these things and listen to them very, very carefully. I realize tonight there's less behind me than there is in front of me. I'm accountable for yesterday, but I'm going to be accountable for the tomorrows that God gives me. And allow me to live them well in His will. Let's notice something here. Number one, the first thing that we need to recognize here and make a spiritual parallel to Ezekiel is this, that we're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. We're to be under the control of. That means I'm yielded to whatever He says. Now, someone asked me just recently, said, Brother Green said, what does God sound like? Well, I don't know what He sounds like, but I know when He speaks. And I know this, every time I get into the Word of God, He says something to me. And I have got to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Here's where it is. Not my will, but thy will be done. See, that's a disturbance. We don't like to think that we don't have control of our life. Now, wait a minute. The next point is going to reveal something to us. That if you've been to Christ, you've been to the cross, and in repentance of faith, you turn from your sin to salvation, you're no longer yours. You're not your own property. And you're not under the leadership of self any longer. Although that's where most Christians abide. Well, that's not what I want to do. It doesn't matter about what you want to do. It matters what God wants you to do. And I found this out, that it's always far better for me to be under His will. And as I yield myself to God, He works on my want to where I found out, you know, I want to do what he wants me to do. There's a lot more pleasure in it. And then the second thing is, not only are we to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, but we're to be under his authority. We're to be under his authority. And that goes back to 1 Corinthians 6. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Why is that? Because he says we're not our own. You don't belong to you. Everyone here tonight, everyone here, even those that have yet, they have already surrendered and got themselves focused and some going and some already been there. Even you and I, even at my age and at my tender of ministry, we need to forever understand I'm not my own, and I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirits. I'm under his authority. I'm under his boss. I'm under his direction, because I'm not my own. And everyone here tonight, every one of you need to say, Lord, this message is for me. Even though it's not new, I'm hearing it a little bit a different way. And dear Lord, I do understand that I'm to be under your control, because you own me, you bought me, you purchased me. I'm yours, and I'm under the authority of God. I have no other alternative but to do what I am doing. And then number three, we're to go. We're to go, whether it's across the street, around the world, we're to go with a message that God receiveth sinful men. Oh, tonight I wonder who in this congregation God has been tapping your heart briefly for just a moment, or maybe for days or for years. I'd rather surrender late in life than never surrender. I never give what's left than give nothing. I cannot change yesterday, but I certainly can do something with today and tomorrow of my life. And that's true of every one of us here this evening. We're to go. And then fourthly, we're to work among the need. Now, I didn't say among the needy, because there's needy everywhere. And I know a lot of Christians that are needy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where the need is. I was in Jesse's room tonight, and he was talking about the need of China, the massive population there, and what few in percentage are considered Christian in that nation. I was talking to a pastor, and I was actually trying to get him to have my grandson in. And here's what he said. Now listen to this. There's 1.4 billion people in China. And he said, I've already got a missionary over there. What in the name of heaven? One missionary among 1.4 billion people. That's not even a speck. I think God intends for the local church to saturate, to do everything we can with what we have to get the gospel to a people that does not have it, because the gospel is the only thing that will make a difference in a life, and that life in eternity. Nothing else but that. We're to go where the need is. And if I cannot go, then I can help others to be there so they can do what needs to be done. And then fifthly, we're to be silent and listen to God's word. What does God have to say to me? You know, I have you ever been around somebody that just won't shut up? I have. And at my age, I've come to a place where I just want to say, why don't you keep your mouth shut for a while? You might learn something. You know, but I'm sweeter than that, so I don't say things like that. But I can't help but control my thoughts sometimes. But every once in a while, I have said, shh, you know, just shh. Let's see what God has to say here. And I've got news for you. In this conference, starting tonight, through the close, God has something to say to this congregation of people. God has something specific just for you. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I would be exalted in the earth. Oh, that we would open ourselves just to be still and hear what God is saying to me. And then lastly, know and do what God has asked us to do. Know and do what God has asked us to do. That's what he says. Look in verse 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die, and his sin and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Accountability. Accountability. Let me close with this little thought. I'm the youngest of 8 children. My family is getting less and less on this side of eternity. I have 2 sisters that are very critically ill tonight. It's almost a toss-up who God's going to take home first. So that would only leave just a couple of us out of 8 children. And I'm telling you tonight, dear people, that my father used to say things like this. Do you hear me? He'd talk to me. Sometimes he'd put his hand on my chin. He'd make me look at him. He'd say, are you listening to me? Are you sure you're listening? I'd say, yeah, Dad, I'm listening. He said, what did I just tell you? And then I'd become like Porky Pig. I don't know. When's the last time if someone were to say, has God spoken to you lately? If you did, were you listening? What did he tell you? What did he tell you? I come into this meeting very, very burdened. I'm not a miracle worker. I don't even count myself good at much of anything. But what I am is I'm honest. And this is a pivotal few days of this week. Not only for this church, but for individuals. Be still and know that I'm God. I want you to know tonight, in the simplicity of this little message, God said something to you. God spoken to you. In some way, somehow, God has convicted a heart about something. You might be here tonight unsaved. If you die, you're going to go to hell. But Jesus loved you. Oh, the thought of that. That Jesus loved you. He died for you. Tonight you can know him as your Lord and Savior. But there's others that saved but wasted life. Instead of contributing to the things of God, he's speaking to you tonight. And there's an old song that I used to hear as a little boy at invitation time, Why Not Tonight? Oh, why not tonight? So I'm asking you as I turn the message over to the pastor, why not you tonight in what God is speaking to you about?